Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room. Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Good Life. I don't know why I'm doing this voice, but today's episode has me fired up, you guys. Fired up. We're talking about Relationship RX. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Saz, stop touching the dials. Relationship RX is coming up today. Just me and Sazzy Cakes hanging out in the house, you guys. We're taking your questions from Instagram, and we're answering relationship questions. Ooh. This is a really fun episode.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be candida.
Let's have fun.
It's gonna be goofy. We're gonna talk about fighting. We're gonna talk about sex. We're gonna talk about what?
Let's talk about, how does that go, that song?
Let's talk about you and me. All right, you guys.
Talk about sex.
Let's not listen to our bad singing anymore and let's get right into the episode. Stick around, it's about to get good.
Woo! Thanks, babe, for letting me do that one more time.
Okay, you're fired. Okay.
Wow, Stevie, are you now a fan of country music, that is?
Listen, I have to tell you, anyone who knows me knows that I am not the biggest country music person, but I have changed, okay, Saz? I'm changing and moving back to Texas. Like, I've started, you know, I think growing up here, I didn't appreciate it as much. And now when we moved to LA, I was like, oh man, country music's, it's cozy, but... That's not any country music. That is last year's winner of The Voice, Jake Hoot, who is actually marrying one of our best friends' sisters. So it's almost like
Brittany,
she's
Hoy.
Like a sister to us. I haven't met him yet because of COVID, all
but
that jazz.
But you're going to their wedding on behalf of us both, since I'm going to be holding it down here in mom life.
She's
going
to be breastfeeding the babe.
That's right. So shout out to Jake Hoot. This is his album, Love Out of Time. We played a song off of it. And guess what? He's actually number 3 on the country charts and recently had a song with Kelly Clarkson.
It's
you
amazing.
Know, did you know I sang Kelly Clarkson for my 7th grade talent show and I won first place? Can I just say Kelly Clarkson
so
has that touch?
You just talked about a guy who won The Voice is number 3 on the charts. And then you immediately turn it to, you know, I sang Kelly Clarkson in the 7th grade talent show.
Clearly, Kelly Clarkson, what she touches turns to gold. Because
is that what you were saying?
I think so.
Are you sure about that?
I sang, a moment like this.
Oh, God.
Okay, Saz.
We're going to have to turn your mic down here in a second.
Anyways, we'll add that to the Good Life playlist.
That song specifically was This Is The Night. I like this EP. It's really good. It's catchy, man. And that song puts me in a good mood. You know what I mean? It's like end of the day, worked hard. I'm looking forward to the little things, you know? It's sweet. I like it. Anyways, y'all, we have a fun episode of The Good Life today, a little shorter than normal. But it's going to be power-packed because we are taking some of your relationship questions. Saz actually asked for you guys to leave some relationship questions on her Instagram. And of course, we answered some in a video, but we couldn't get all of them. So what we do sometimes is we take a lot of the ones that we didn't get to and we like to answer them on another platform, because if we had answered all of them on video, it would have been a 5-hour video.
And it wasn't like on my YouTube channel, this video actually, by the way, is going to be up on my YouTube next week sometime. But the video wasn't like we were sitting down and doing a talk through. We actually were cooking, you know, we were cooking dinner and we thought it'd be fun to multitask, which I don't know if we should do that again, babe, because how many questions did we get around to?
No, I didn't. That's not what bothered me. What bothered me was that we were cooking and then answering questions. And I hate when you cook a meal and that like your stuff gets cold.
Oh, so, but we were eating a salad.
Yeah, I know, but there was like supposed to be warm chicken and bacon, and it just was not as popping as it should have been. So I think the video was great, but I think that the salad, you know, it just got cold and soft.
Did you like that salad, by the way? It was from Half Baked Harvest. She's going to be an upcoming guest on our show.
Honestly, I think I've liked everything. You know what? You know what we need to make again, though, and record it?
What?
Her tenderloin recipe, y'all. Her beef tenderloin. I made it for New Year's. Oh, my goodness.
What?
It's the beef tenderloin that I made.
That was hers?
Yes.
Like, I didn't know that.
Mushrooms, shallots, you got it. Oh my gosh. And it cooks to perfection, you guys. And it is just the most delicious, salty, flavorful. You put some Dijon on it, some butter.
Baby, you've become quite the chef.
I like to cook. Well, see, the thing is too, is that we got really bad for a while about eating out. And I'm over eating out.
I'm over it too, babe. And I used to live for it. I used to eat out 3 times a day when I was in high school and college. I lived for that Whataburger.
You just feel like nasty. Just,
now it's like it's catching up to you.
Once you turn 30, I feel like eating out.
We act like we're so old.
No, but I'm saying once you turn 30, I mean, we're 31. But once you turn 30, it's like eating out. It's just like, you're like, ugh, like, you know?
Every now and then, I mean, sushi is one thing because you cannot make that at home. But I've just been into like home cooked meals, but we've been so busy that we've been ordering out a lot more. It's that fog phase, but we're getting out of it and we're cooking again. And I bet when we have Tegan on our show from Half Baked Harvest, she's going to slap us with some recipes that are going to inspire us. So cannot wait for that.
I love being slapped. All right, you guys, before we get into the meat and potatoes of today's show, speaking of cooking, see what I did there?
Okay.
We got to get to the good news of the week. This story I thought was interesting.
That was not a good. No, try it again. Actually, I'll do it. And I'm going to do it in my Kelly Clarkson singing voice. It's time for the good news of the week.
Okay, show off.
that was pretty good until I left. Okay, what do you got for us?
Here we go. This story says a gorgeous 3D printed home just popped up on Zillow for half the price of comparable
houses. No, you are not
houses.
Bringing back these 3D printed houses. We've had this.
Back up off me, little mama. Let me explain something. I am a Zillow hound, okay? And I'm sure that I'm not the only one right now who's a part of this TGL fam who's a Zillow hound, be looking on Zillow for like 3 hours at night before I go to sleep. Okay, let me just read you this story because I don't know how I feel about this.
I don't understand it. Okay. Explain.
This house is a stunning 3D printed home, and it's currently available for sale on Zillow at 34 Millbrook Lane, Riverhead, New York. There's the address for all my Zillow
people. Did they seriously just put the address?
Yeah, because it's for sale. It's public information. Okay. Anyways, okay. At $300,000, it costs 50% less than the comparably sized houses in the area.
Oh, yeah,
and the manufacturer, SQ4D, hopes to use it as a jumping off point to tackle housing shortages in the city and surrounding towns. First of all, there's a picture here.
Can you explain this 3D? I still don't get it.
Hold on. There's only one picture on this website. What do you think of this picture so far?
This picture, it looks like a normal house to me. It's a one-story home. It looks a little cottagey.
Okay, so I'm Googling it, y'all. Like I'm going on Zillow right now, and I got to see the pics, okay? Because I got to see the inside of this thing. Okay, let's check these pics real quick. Okay, outside is nice. Kind of cute.
Little porch. That's
my dad's
nice.
A builder, though, and I'm already just asking so many questions.
These photos are rendered. These photos look fake, but then again, it's a 3D house, so I don't understand. What do they do? Just blow it up with an inflatable
This is
vacuum?
So interesting. Like, is it made out of plastic?
I don't understand it. Can you continue
What
reading?
Do you think about the inside? Okay, so these are renderings.
It's great lighting.
I think they're renderings, babe.
Oh.
They definitely are.
Yeah. Look at the fake neighborhood.
So wait, are they saying like, this is a house, could be yours for $300,000? You're like,
Okay,
so. It says own a piece of history. This is the Zillow listing, you guys.
Oh, it's the world's first 3D printed home for sale. And it is built by the company SQ4D using their patent pending ARCS, somebody Google that, technology. And it offers 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, 1,400 square feet. For New York, that's amazing.
That's a little house, though.
With a 2.5 car detached garage. Architecturally designed by nationally renowned engineering firm
H2M. I just
feel
like one of these houses, if you put this thing in Texas, by July, it would melt.
You know what? I was about to say, let's call your dad right now and ask him if he's ever heard of such a thing and get the expert.
Listen.
But his phone just this morning his phone fell in the lake. Him and Stevie went out fishing this morning, which, by the way, how was that?
It was great. We didn't catch a dang thing, but I'll tell you what, it was peaceful.
Meanwhile,
I felt like Goofy in the, you remember the old school Goofy movie?
Yeah, do your Goofies.
He says, the perfect cast.
Except you're opposite of Max. You gladly wanted to get up at the crack of dawn to go fishing.
I was down. There's a 50-year limited warranty on the house. I don't know if that makes you guys feel any better, but I don't know.
I still don't understand.
I'm not sure if I'm buying it. There's not enough information. But hey, listen, if it works, I mean, I'll put my foot in my mouth.
So what is
I'm
the good
down.
News in this story, Stevie?
Well, the good news, babe, is that they're printing houses and they're half the cost, okay?
That's true.
Because labor prices these days, I got a quote on a renovation in our house and I was like, God help me.
Oh, Lord.
If that's the price.
Don't tell me.
We ain't renovating.
Gosh. All right. Well, look it up, guys. The gorgeous 3D printed home in New York City.
I told you guys. Check it out. 34 Millbrook Lane.
Hey.
Someone's going to buy it. All right, Big Mama. Let's get popping with these questions. Relationship RX with Saz and Steve.
RX meaning pharmacy. We are prescribing our advice.
We're not prescribing anything because we could legally get in trouble, but it's kind of like we're prescribing like, this is what you could do in this scenario.
It's just our personal experience because we ain't no experts, honey. I mean,
but I would say that we have a very healthy relationship. We're not perfect, but we're close.
Well, yeah, but lately our gas has not been healthy.
Oh, no. Don't bring that up.
I have a question. At what point in a relationship do you get comfortable like that?
To just get it popping?
And literally
popping?
Yeah. It was pretty early on
because
for us.
Because of you.
I mean, I think it was because for me, I don't see that as like a weird thing, but I have friends who to this day have not farted in front of their husbands.
I'm sorry.
All I'm saying is how do you hold it in really? I don't know how it goes back in.
I used to try and hold it in. Man, you inflate like a balloon
that
and
hurts
later
your
you
stomach.
Go home and it just all happens.
Anyways, I don't know why I brought that up. So, all right, here we go. These are questions that y'all sent in. So let's just jump right into it. Hey. Do you think a man can be happy in his relationship but still cheat on his girlfriend? Whoa, I just hit us with that first question.
Dang, that's rough.
Is that a hard first question?
I'm going to say yes. I think that...
Wait, did you understand the question?
She's saying, do you think a man can be happy in his relationship? Like, he's happy, he loves this person, right?
But then he's still going behind the scenes to go cheat.
Yeah, because I think with guys, it doesn't have to do with the person that they're with. It has to do with themselves.
Right.
So it doesn't matter if they're with a good person. If you've got things inside of your heart that are not pure, you got bad motivations or just bad habits
or demons
or but here's the thing. It takes, I talk about this with guys that I know that are married too. It takes 5 seconds to ruin your life. Oh, man. Literally 5 seconds. You could be in the wrong place at the wrong time and you don't get out of there and you just ruin your life. You know what I mean? You could be hanging out with the wrong people too. It's like, sometimes your boys, if your boys don't have your best in mind, maybe they're not married. They could put you in a bad scenario,
man.
And you're out somewhere. You know what I mean?
That's why you're not allowed to have friends. I'm just kidding.
That's why you ain't going anywhere tonight. Son.
Oh my gosh.
Just cancel your plans.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is somebody who is going behind your back though and being dishonest, it's something in them, not in you. You can't blame yourself, you know, but right. It's crazy to me how there are some people that their conscience is not all there and they can still be present and happy with that person and then go behind the scenes and cheat on that person. And somehow consciously they're okay with that. I can't even lie about like if I'm trying to eat healthy and I snuck in a brownie, I'm like, Steve, I ate a brownie. I mean, that's a bad example, but I'm just saying I can't. I personally just can't, my conscience, I cannot lie and neither can you. I think you just feel guilty. Right.
Gross. Don't know what to do with yourself.
It's so sad. That question. How to stop fighting? That was a lot of questions we got. This one person said, how do I stop fighting with my significant other?
I mean, some people just want to throw hands. You know what I mean? Some people just get in a relationship. And someone will say something, and they're like, oh, so is that how you feel? And they're like, but I wasn't even saying anything bad. They're like, oh, yes, you were. And they're like, I really wasn't.
Right.
I think
communication.
I mean, that's a broad question. How do you stop fighting?
Well, you know what?
Tell me one way, Saz, that you stop fighting. Because we used to fight.
For me, I've realized when we compromise and, you know, we come down from this place of anger and just like noise from just whatever's causing us to be upset, when we kind of come back down to reality a little bit, calm down, take a deep breath, and then we sit like civil adults and we both talk through it. You have the mic. You say what you've got to say. I usually interrupt you a few times and you're like, hey, let me talk. I let you talk. And then I say what I've got to say. And then we have to work through, okay, what's the solution here? Because right. I think communication is really important, but listening is even more important.
Ooh.
Right? Ooh. And that's something that when you're having conflict, it's really hard to not be distracted by the noise. And it takes away from your listening sometimes. So I say, if you want to stop fighting, you've got to take a deep breath in the moment. You've got to come down, back down to reality. Mm-hmm. And you've got to listen to the other person, but then also communicate up front. This is how we're going to handle conflict. I talk, then you talk, you know, setting those expectations even before you're in the fight so that when the fight comes, you're able to handle it. Because fighting, there's no such thing as just stopping conflict. I mean, things will pop up even in the healthiest relationships. I mean, we fight
of course.
And I love our marriage.
But I think you have to realize too, another good point, and that's a good point. I like the way you're saying kind of have a, you know, we have like a rules of war. You know what I mean?
You have to, yeah.
Yeah, you got
to
have rules of war. But I think you have to realize what is the source of the fighting. Is it stress? Like a lot of fights that we went through for a long time, I had to realize it's like our relationship's not broken. It's just stress induced. And we're letting stress get the best of us. And we're not at peace, and that's when we start fighting. Another thing, too, that I realized about our fighting was me being defensive sometimes. Sometimes you would come at me with an issue, and what you just said was so important is also not just talking but listening. And you could set the ground rules of being like, okay, you get to talk for 5 minutes, and then I get to talk for 5 minutes. But if you're being defensive in your own mind, your own heart, and someone's saying like, hey, I really had this problem today, you know, and I wish you wouldn't have done X, Y, and Z. If in your head, your self-talk is like, dude, I don't know what they're talking about, you know, because maybe you're insecure
or maybe
you don't know how to acknowledge it. It's like, you got to realize my defensiveness is causing fights in our, you know, because you might come to me with an issue and say something. And if I'm being defensive and I defend it, and that's when you get mad because you're like, you're not hearing me willing to apologize.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big thing too, right? It's like, if you're just willing to say, yeah, I was wrong, it diffuses a lot of the times a situation, right?
Yeah. And something that helps too is like, remove yourself from the situation. And I mean that in the sense of, yes, you're angry. Let's just remove yourself from the pain temporarily and remove yourself from whatever that person did for a second to sort of look at the situation and the fight from an aerial perspective, okay? And hear that person out. Let them speak without, you know, having a rebuttal every 5 seconds. Like, and it's so easy to do that when you're angry or you feel like you've been hurt. And I say just start there. But sometimes when you're walking into a relationship, you already had some problems to begin with that were not addressed. And I think that that's also really important that if, you know, one person in the relationship is a better communicator than the other person, it is really important when you're not in a moment of conflict to set some new expectations in the relationship with each other, to tell that significant person, I care about you and I know you care about me. And I know that in our relationship, which we both want it to thrive, we're going to probably experience some road bumps, some turbulence, some storms, things are going to come our way. Let's figure out how are we going to get through this. And I know that communication is not your thing, babe, but you have to be willing to make an effort.
Wait, are you talking to me?
No. I'm pretending to be the person. But that probably sounded like I went, no, you're so great at communicating. You actually helped me learn how to communicate.
You too, baby.
But that's just where I would give that advice there.
Girl, stop. I'm going to kiss you. What's the next one?
The next one, I have a crush on a guy that he's crushing on another girl from my class, and it's really hurting me.
All right, listen, this is what you're going to do, girl.
That sucks. Has that ever happened to you?
It's happened to everybody.
When you were 12?
I mean, yeah, everybody's got like a crush, and they're looking the other way, and you're like, what's up, dude? This person sucks. No, I'm just kidding. It's kind of like how you feel if you didn't get a job, right? You just kind of like, you hired them?
Or feeling like second place, yeah.
Right. That's how it feels. But my advice is, you know, shake your tail feathers, like Nelly said.
Excuse me?
Y'all don't remember that, Bad Boys 2? Whoop, whoop.
You know, you can't control somebody else's, you know, what's in their minds and what they're thinking about. You can't make somebody like you.
Yeah.
So all you can do is just continue being yourself, being your loving self and working on yourself and knowing that when that right person comes into your life, when God brings that person into your life, I believe that it's going to be a gift and it's not something that you have to chase day in and day out. And it shouldn't make you feel that way. So just believe that there is a blessing coming for you, you know, even in those moments when it makes you question your own self-worth, it's like, am I not good enough? You know, when you want to go to that place, stop yourself and remind yourself of the gifts that you have now and the things in your life now that make you who you are. And somebody is going to come into your life and they will see those incredible gifts and those qualities and those things about you, and they will appreciate it. And I believe that God brings those people into your life as a blessing, and it's a gift in return.
It's hard too, though, when you want something, right, and it doesn't go your way. I mean, sometimes it's hard to let go of it, and some people fixate on it. But if this person doesn't want you, then trust me, they ain't the right person. You shouldn't have to be anything else, go out of your way to be something else for this person to like you. So if they don't like you, boo, keep moving on, get somebody that really loves you. Like, my wife loves me, and that's why we still are married. Even after I do all these weird things and have gas at night, you know what I mean? Cause she's down with that. Like, you get somebody who's down for you.
You know,
it's nice when someone's down for you. It's like, I remember when I started exposing my like just weird homeschooled self to you. And I was like, I do a lot of like weird voices. I hope you're okay with that.
I remember that conversation.
And you were like,
you were really shy. You were so like, I was like, nervous. You were like,
I got a lot of personality.
Well, no, I remember.
I hope that you like me.
Yeah. Well, I remember there was one voice that you tucked in. It was a voice that you didn't share with many at the time.
My inner son.
And you were like, it's like this little dinosaur baby voice that I have.
It's like my inner child.
I don't really bring it out much. And
ask him to come out. He's probably here.
Wow.
Somewhere.
He would come out now.
Yeah, he'll probably come out. He's probably here somewhere.
Okay, dinosaur baby, where you at?
No. He has a name. You know his name. Every character I have has a name.
Tommy.
Hey, Sash, how you doing? It's nice to be a part of the Good Life, and I really like this show. Some of the topics are just, I don't know, they're a little bit over my head, but other than that, it's pretty dope.
Oh my gosh, Steve.
Tommy, go back to the closet. Go to sleep.
Okay, so that voice that you all heard here, that voice was not one that he used to share.
That's actually openly a son that I had out of wedlock. You guys caught me.
Shut up, Steve. But really, I mean, that was just those little quirky things about you that maybe at a time you were insecure about. I loved it. I saw that as a gift. And
she was like,
in return, you were blessed that I responded in that
way. Exactly.
Because I bet there were other girls in your past relationships that were like, don't ever do that. And I don't want to know about this dinosaur voice.
That's really strange. Please don't do that.
How does Stevie react when you want to talk about problems in your relationship?
Well, I kind of just alluded to it. I'm like, I don't want to hear it. No,
oh my God, babe.
You know what? It's changed over time. I would say that I've grown. I think when somebody puts their finger on a problem, sometimes it's an insecure issue that you don't even want to address yourself because it's a place of insecurity. So you get defensive, right? Like I was talking about, and you're not willing to acknowledge like what they're saying is true and that you made a mistake and you were in the wrong. And so I think one of my flaws in the past was acting defensively when Saza brings something up to my attention, just be like, because I think I was already on my own head about it. You know what I mean? It's like, right, you're already on your own head about it. You're like, oh God, like, you know, self-talk, me talking to myself, it's like, I hate how forgetful you are, dude. Like, why are you so forgetful of these little things? Like, even I hate that I'm forgetful. You know, it bothers me. So when you bring it up and you're like, Steve, how could you forget? And I'm like, I don't know, leave me alone. You know? And it's like, I've had to realize that's an area of weakness. But I think too, with your partner, you've had to grow more grace for me. So it's like, you know, you now know how to approach those things. Instead of out of anger, you're just like, I guess some of the best advice I've ever gotten is like, you bring something up, like a discussion, before you get angry.
Right.
Like before you have a chance to get angry, like take a deep breath and be like, let's talk about this when you're in a level headspace.
I also completely agree with you there and wanted to add that, you know, when you're in some really crappy relationships, you'll know when you've got a good one. Because specifically, I've always been somebody who's just been super transparent. And at times, maybe I haven't always communicated my feelings in the best way, but I've never held back from being open and honest about however I'm feeling in any given moment. And in past relationships, I have seen where it has not been approached in a very healthy way. And I mean that on both sides, but more so when I am dealing with a problem or something's really on my mind and I'm really upset about it. I've had scenarios where I have tried talking or bringing it up and I've been completely shut down. And that's just made it hurt even more. So I get that. It makes you not even want to go there and put in the effort because you're like, what's the point? This right. person doesn't even respect that I'm feeling this way and that I'm upset. You want them to meet you. Not only hear you, but like meet me where I am right now in my pain and this problem. And there's a lot of people who just want to rain check. There's a lot of, in my case, relationships where the guy just said, why don't you just call your best friend and talk about it? I don't want to hear it. And it was just like things like that happening like, time and time again. It was like warning flags.
You were like,
red
yo,
flags.
Aren't you my best friend?
Exactly. And then I met you, Stevie, and I was just completely amazed. And it wasn't just because we were dating and you were trying to win me over. No. To this day, you are somebody who just stands to be completely authentic in the way that you approach conflict when I'm not, you know, when I'm on one or when I'm just wanting to talk about something. You have never rejected me. You have never rejected whatever problem I'm having, whatever the emotion is, even if it's not, I mean, I will say, maybe it's not a...
You're talking about that time of the month?
Yeah, or also... Maybe the way that I am feeling or the way that I am seeing the problem, it's like maybe it is out of line or I am being just ridiculous and menstrual or whatever. You never make me feel like the way that I feel is not validated. And you never just like brush me off and you're like, God, I don't want to hear this. And it's human in all of us sometimes to be like, oh God, what is she about to do? Like I'm sitting here trying to watch my football game. Like what's going on? But you always show up when I'm having that problem. And it takes sometimes going through hell before you get to heaven. And I've seen that in my own life with relationships. And that's when you know you have a good one. Now, I'm not telling all you ladies right now to go text whoever or call your significant other if they are struggling with that to be like, it's over. You're not the one. Sass said so.
Your feet smell. Bye.
No, but it is something to approach with caution, but to really communicate, it goes back to communication. Communicate to that person, yeah, like, yeah, this is important to me.
For
and like
sure.
Stevie said, try to talk about it and bring it up before the conflict, the volcano erupts.
I have a hard time, like, not thinking about things that, you know, you bring to my attention. Like, there are times where it's like, I have to detach from the issue because I feel like it's not validated, you know, and that's really hard for me. Because, like, if you are upset, it like upsets me, you know, just naturally that's how I right. am. So I do try to take them on as my own issues. But I think that's marriage, right?
Right.
It's like, that's that closeness. That's that intimacy, you know, that you want to have with somebody. What's the next one?
My boyfriend, I caught him lying. He didn't cheat, but he lied about a girl in his past. I don't know if I can forgive. Advice. Now, ooh, before we get too into this, because we are not experts on forgiveness, I mean, not that you have to be, but when there are deep-rooted pains and suffering, it's easier said than done to just be like, you've got to forgive even if you don't feel it. I mean,
right.
Next week, we are having Lisa Turkhurst on our show.
Oh,
if you know Lisa Turkhurst, she is somebody who has, her whole entire purpose has now been redefined by a trauma and a painful experience that she went through with her significant other who has, you know, cheated, and she has pretty much walked the walk when it comes to forgiveness in the process. Anyways, we interviewed her, and she's going to be on the show next week. And I just, there's so much that, I mean, we had to dedicate an entire episode to it. So Rain, check that thought, and sister, come back next week, because that episode, it will answer that question and it will change your life. And I mean that in the best way. Next question. How do you avoid comparison or an atmosphere of competition in your relationship? Now, you and I are very competitive people. We are always wanting to be the best versions of ourselves. We're always wanting to go try the next best sushi spot. Like, we're naturally, it's a good thing, right? To have that like competition a little bit.
Do you feel like we're competitive, though? Or do you feel like we used to be?
I think remember when we first started dating, you got a hosting job with Access Live, and we were both kind of in that entertainment news route where we really wanted to do TV hosting. And I remember you got a job straight out of high school doing TV hosting, like a legit college job. What'd I say?
I wasn't in high school.
I'm sorry, baby. Whew, college.
Yeah.
And I remember we had just started dating, and I just really struggled with that.
I thought you would be like, dang.
I know. I did too. Stuff. But I was just like, I don't know why. I felt very happy for you, but I also felt very jealous of you.
Happy for you.
I felt jealous. And it was really hard for me to not look at your success and question my own. And how did I get through that? I think for me over time.
Stab me in the back.
I was like, I'm going to kill you if you don't stop.
Well, and then after that, you know, that thing kind of ended, and then we were moving out to LA, and Saz got, you know, she got an agent in LA before we even moved out. She's like, oh my God, they scouted me, and I'm flying out. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then I felt like, oh my God, I'm behind
no longer with that agency, by the way.
I think that came from us just being motivated people, though. You know, people with ambition. You know, we were always the two in our school that knew we wanted to go to LA and pursue, you know, a career in, I guess, Hollywood or whatever you want to call it. But
so we've been competitive with each other. But I think the way that I have personally like gotten over that is like you just grow up. Like like when you're in your early 20s and you're trying to figure out like your purpose in life, whether you have God in your life or not, like you're kind of going through the waves of like I'm trying to figure out who I am, what I want to do with my life. And then things come into the mix that can kind of distract you. Somebody else's success can distract yours. And it didn't mean that I was not happy for you, babe. But I did struggle a little bit with the competition of like, well, am I going to be left behind? It was an insecurity. And I've over the years, obviously, I've had to work through that on my own, and it was within myself. And I can say that I've come out of that now. And there's nothing I want more for you than to see you succeed more than myself.
Right.
And I mean that 100%. And I know you do too. And it's just, it's our relationship that has now reached a certain level of maturity that maybe wasn't always there, and that's okay.
Well, the Bible says mourn with those who mourn. You know what I mean? Celebrate with those who celebrate. And I feel like that's so important because it's like, what if you have a big moment and your best friend or your spouse or whoever is not there to celebrate with you? You would feel betrayed. You'd be like, I have literally had this dream and you're not celebrating with me, dude. Like, if you got this, I would celebrate with you. It feels like a betrayal. And so if you're struggling to celebrate with somebody or you're feeling jealousy, make yourself celebrate them.
Yeah.
You have to make yourself. You say, I'm literally going to choose to be happy for them, but I'm also not going to compare myself because it's not a competition. And like you said, babe, you do grow out of it, I think, but you actively grow out of it. And so you shouldn't be comparing yourselves. Instead, you should be pursuing your passion and not comparing it with anyone else. Because when you're a young person, in your early 20s, graduating college, you know what I mean? You're going through that thing of like figuring out, what am I super passionate about? Some people know when they're 12. Some people know when they're 30. Some people know when they're 50. But whatever that passion is, and whatever that thing that's right next to you, pursue that. And don't be comparing yourself, and especially competing in your relationship. That's the one person that should be building you up, and vice versa.
That's right. And I also want to add, with comparison, this question might also be geared towards, how do you avoid comparison? Like comparing your person to somebody else's boyfriend or somebody else's significant other or a celebrity or somebody else. And even comparing yourself to another person or their ex. That is like the most toxic thing that you can do.
Yeah, seriously.
For the relationship and for yourself. Do not let that breed in your heart, because it's just going to breed other things. It's going to breed resentment. It's going to breed more insecurity, more loss, loss of joy in the relationship that you have and just being grateful for what you have. You know, Stevie, like, I look at you, babe, and of course, you are my 10 out of 10 guy. You are perfect. But can I be real? You know that there have been times and seasons of our life where I could easily pick you apart. Anybody can. And I could say little things here and there like, you've thrown your clothes here and there, or
your feet smell.
No,
coming back to that one.
Or how how have you not edited this assignment when I've already done XYZ? So and so's husband would easily do that. I've been guilty of that, and I cannot tell you how much I have seen that hurt you when I do that. And you know what? Not only does that happen in relationships with significant others, but it is so easy to do that when you do come from a family of a lot of siblings. There's that sibling rivalry. And like, I would just, growing up, my mom would be like, look at her. She finished her food. You didn't finish yours. You're not getting a brownie after. And sometimes I catch myself like doing that with Teenie. And I'm like, you don't ever want to find yourself going down that path, because it just only brings more insecurity into the relationship. It brings insecurity into that person.
It says inherently that something is wrong with you as a person and the way that you are and the way that you're wired. You know what I mean? That it, instead of saying you need to work on this,
you can encourage.
Right. You can encourage, but it's saying like, there's something wrong with you. You know what I mean?
You know what I've learned too? Tone of voice is everything. That is something that I really...
Oh, you can say that again for the people in the back.
Tone of voice is everything.
Listen,
I will be the first to say that my tone of voice has not always been like, hey, babe.
You've gotten a lot better, but like, I know when there's times where like you're trying to fight me. And then I know when there's times where it's like, you're legitimately like saying like, I want to talk about this and I want to work on it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to fight.
But you know what? There's a difference between this. Watch this. Babe, you need to pick up your clothes off the floor. It is driving me crazy. Okay, there's that. And then there's this. Hey, babe. Walks up to him, gives him a hug, rubs his back a little bit. Babe, I've been noticing lately that you have a lot more clothes on the floor. How can I encourage you and try to help you make sure that you pick up those clothes?
I think
is there something I can do to help you with that?
I think too, honestly.
And that's so different. It's such a, I walk into the situation right. And you're like, you're not being attacked.
Well, right? Also too, I think too, knowing what that person, like what you can get them to care about and saying like, it's really important to me. It's like, because that's when people get like, that's why love languages are a thing. It's like, how does me washing dishes show you that I love you? If you're an acts of service kind of person, and for you, you're acts of service, and you could say, phrase it as, hey, you know, it's really important to me that, you know, you just keep your stuff tidy. It doesn't have to be perfect. I'm not a perfectionist, but like, just could you please, you know, pick up those things? It would really mean a lot to me. Then I would take it on as a responsibility, saying like, if I don't do this, even though I don't have the personal motivation right now, I know that it would please my spouse in a way that goes beyond just keeping a clean house. It's something in them that communicates to them, I care about what you care about, therefore I care about you. Mm-hmm. And so there's always that deeper meaning, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, why are you so mad at me because I left my socks on the ground again? They're just socks.
Yeah.
And it's not about the socks.
All right, that's good.
It's saying you don't even love me.
I love you so much. Okay, next question.
All right.
How do you, how to keep the spark alive? And I'm going to attach this to another question. How do you keep the spark alive? And what should I do if my partner isn't affectionate? So is the spark always sexual? No.
No.
The spark in a relationship is a lot of things.
The spark doesn't come from sex. I think when you have sex, the spark makes sex way better.
It ignites it.
But the spark is there, whatever, who created that term, the spark. The spark is there before. It's just what I was just talking about. It's when you are talking to that person, when you are working in their love language, that spark is going to be there. If the most important thing to me is to spend quality time with you and we don't spend any quality time, guess what? I don't want to get it popping in the bedroom because I am not being fed. My love tank is empty and there ain't no spark.
And that's another good thing you mentioned there is that a lot of people, and even us in seasons of life, like the first year when we had Teenie, that really tested our marriage. And you know what? That spark, which always has been there, because the truth is, you wouldn't marry somebody unless you truly had that, right? Unless
sparky.
You'd be marrying, like, it'd be arranged, or
it's like a dog inside calling a little sparky.
Yeah, the spark, it's usually there, but also the spark is something that can grow over time. And sparky, as you say,
woof, woof.
You know, the first year of our marriage, or the first year as parent, new parents, you're making me lose my train of thought. I noticed that we were butting heads a lot more. And
sparky,
why?
Sparky, you brought up the point. Long walk.
You he brought it up. Back. You said it. You said quality time, that was not being fed, my love tank. It is so important if you, first of all, are struggling with that spark or bringing it back or finding the spark, you need to sit down with your partner and buy the 5 Love Languages book. And you need to figure out, first of all, what is your love language and what is your significant other's love language? Or just go online. Now you can read all about it. But I mean, obviously reading the book would be good. But there is 5 love languages. And we are all wired to have 1 or 2 really as the top. And your love language, Stevie, is quality time and physical touch. I don't know the order. Which one is it? Physical touch sometimes,
you know,
and then quality time. They're really neck and neck.
Once, you know, you scratch my back, I just want to hang out. So.
That's right. And then for me, it's acts of service. So Stevie, I walk into the house after a long day, come back, and I see that he's making dinner.
It's or make or break.
He's cleaned the house. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, wow, I feel the spark. I mean, we all have a love language and a love tank that needs to be filled.
And if I don't, all hell breaks loose.
So here's the thing. Sometimes I think that my love language is your love language before I knew yours.
Right.
So the things that I would do, you wouldn't even recognize. Like, I would be putting his clothes, for example, folding them off the floor into the closet. And I would just wait to see, like, let's see if he noticed.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah.
And you just, it's not that you didn't appreciate it, but it didn't really fill up your tank like that. So here comes, you know, few minutes later, and you're just like upset
it.
And you're,
yeah,
and then I'm bitter and you're just like, you're not being fed and I'm feeding you the wrong thing. That's not really, you're not responding in that way. So I highly suggest getting back in tune with your love language. And if your partner is not affectionate, I don't think that's something that you necessarily need to like completely blame yourself, you know, about. Sometimes life happens and you just get a little distracted and that's not on the top of the priority list, but that's where, again, communication comes
for
into play,
sure.
And prioritizing it, even when you're struggling with being more affectionate and it's just not on your to-do list because you're just trying to stay alive and keep the boat afloat, you have to prioritize that. I think it is so important to be connected with your significant other, laying in bed. You know, Stevie and I, we've been getting in bed right after we put Teenie down these days at 8 p.m. We're like, all right, let's turn the lights out. Let's get in bed. Let's talk a little bit. Let's hang out. Let's watch our show and let the night end however it may. And it's just been nice giving ourselves those extra hours before we turn out the lights to really connect and hang out.
Yeah.
But we had to actually say, hey, let's challenge ourselves and get in bed. And we both said, I'm down.
I think you have to create an atmosphere and you have to create like a time to do it. But I would say, like, as somebody who's physical touch and Saz isn't necessarily, that's not her love language, I could be down to cuddle 10 more times than we do a day, and I would be happy as a clam. But Saz, on the other hand, right, she could go less, and she would be just fine. And it's not that she doesn't love me, and I have to understand that, but it's I also have to communicate to her, like, hey, I really need X amount, you know what I mean? Yeah. Being realistic, too, and not being so needy, but I need X amount of cuddle time or, you know, scratch my back or something. That's going to make me feel loved. And also setting that time to where you guys can just connect, too.
Right.
I mean, talk, lay in bed, because there's a huge difference between when we're doing that 1 hour at night, where we can just hang out, not on our phones. That's a big thing. Put your phone away, hang out, talk, watch a show, cuddle, whatever. Huge difference in our marriage. And it makes everything in the house better.
Okay. I just want to add this last question here. What's the biggest issue that you faced as a bicultural couple?
I think the biggest issue we faced, well, that's hard. There was a lot, but I think we had to learn how to communicate.
Yeah.
I think there was a big communication barrier, like in your house. And this honestly goes house by house too, though, because a household in itself is a culture in its own. If you are raised a certain way, there's a culture in your house of like how you talk, what's expected, what are your traditions, right?
Yeah.
And even a white person to a white person, we could have very different household cultures, right?
For sure.
And so obviously if your parents are from the Middle East and mine are from, you know, United States, there's even an extra layer there, right? I remember I used to get so upset with you. I'd be like, why are you always yelling at me? You're like, I'm not yelling. You're like, this is just how we talk in my house. And I went, you know, I remember when I finally got to like hang out with your family, I was like, yeah, everybody just talks on a couple octaves like higher.
And we talk over each other. And I think sometimes in our family, like my dad, like we're just super blunt and honest. Like there is no even, sometimes we don't even think twice. We just say, yeah, I don't like your hair. Or, you know, just like, very much like kind of like everyone has an opinion. Like,
you don't love me.
And then in your house, it's like, yeah, sometimes it's a little bit more of like maybe a passive culture, but also because I do feel like everyone's trying not to hurt anyone else's feelings. So it is sometimes like, just say it. What is on your mind? Well, I don't want to. It's like sometimes being so thoughtful, like I've seen how, you know, both sides of our families have different ways.
Happy medium.
Yes, a happy medium. So now when we are even parenting, we're trying to find that happy medium, right? So, yeah, I think that's a cultural thing.
Communication, and also number two, like what's important culturally? You know what I mean? What's really important and what are the traditions? You know, like one thing was when we got married, babe, you were like, well, in the Middle Eastern Kurdish culture, the men pay for the wedding. I was like, well, over here, baby, the woman's family pays for the wedding. We're like, well, I guess we're going to have to pay for our own wedding because both our parents are like, you do it.
Man.
But it's just like also too, like not getting, you know, hurt about that and knowing what to expect and respecting the other person's traditions and cultures as well is a very important thing.
Listen, I can't end this without this question because I don't know why I feel it in our hearts that we need to answer it. Somebody said, do you think it's possible to marry someone who's not religious, but you are? How would you?
It's definitely possible.
It is. People do it.
People do it.
It is possible.
I would say that it's hard. It's hard to lead your life in a different direction than your spouse's. And that is your spiritual life, which is probably the deepest part of your being, is your spirit. And for you to pursue that separately from them, it's just harder.
But you know what too?
Because that you need that person to be on that journey with you.
But you know what too? It's not always an immediate deal breaker.
Yeah.
Because I saw in our situation how God used you to really get to me. And I mean that in the best way, because I would have never known the love of Christ, which is everything that Jesus is and who we should, you know, who we should exemplify, by not, you know, rejecting or saying, nope, can't date you because you don't believe what I believe. Right. But I think ultimately when it comes down to who you want to marry, that foundation that you really want to lay out, that's so important to understand, like, well, where do you go when the going gets tough?
Right.
Or let's go back to that scenario where you're having a conflict, even in your marriage, and you've been in it for 6 years and you're having an argument. You believe one thing and I believe something else in the argument. I think that this was right and you think this is wrong. Where do you go to really lay down the truth? And where do you go to like seek that counsel? Yeah. For us, that source is God. It's the Bible. It's like, well, what does God say about this? What, you know, and that's where we always go. And I think when raising our kids, it's just so important for us to be on that same page, because then we're raising just, I feel like there's going to be confusion in the home. Then our kids are going to know which parent to go to and which not to get their way. And I think we have to be on the same page. And so sometimes when there is that friction and you believe in something and I believe in something else, it can get really tough, I think.
Yeah.
And that's why we, you know.
But the thing is,
but it's even not about religion.
That other
person, about relationship.
And that other person, though, has to want that for themselves. You can't make them.
Exactly.
You know, people talk about, you converted for so-and-so, and it's like, you should not be converting.
No.
Or whatever, to anything. You shouldn't be pursuing anything if you don't want it for yourself.
And that's something that I actually sometimes get DM'd about on Instagram. Why did you convert for Stevie? And the truth is like, hey,
no.
First of all, nobody can ever make me do anything. Like, I am probably the most stubborn, the most like strong-willed person, and I'm going to do what I feel like I need to do. I've always been that way. I mean, my parents couldn't keep me, you know what I mean? I don't want to say tamed, but they couldn't, since a young child, like, I always felt like I wanted to chase the desires of my heart, whether that was, mom, I'm joining choir. I don't care what you say.
I thought you were in the ROTC.
I was in ROTC. Can you believe that?
Little Saz in an ROTC.
I was in the Army. I was doing the whole ROTC thing. And then it's like, even in my relationship, eventually, I was like, I'm going to be with who I feel in my heart I need to be with. And that was God really putting that strong will in me, I think, for a reason. And I've just had to learn how to use that and not abuse it. And when it came to my relationship with God, I pursued him. Yes, Stevie, you were the vessel, I feel, who sort of led me there and guided me. But I ultimately made that decision and that sacrifice. And I just do not ever want anybody to do that, right? Yeah, like, it would be a really hard life to convert for somebody just so that you could be with them. But then on the other side of that, it's not true in your heart and you're only doing it to make that other person happy. I feel like that is going to start breeding resentment eventually. So
it's just a weight to carry.
It is a weight. So anyways, all that to say, I think it is important to have a foundation, to walk into a relationship with a foundation that you can grow a solid house on, a house being a life. And you have to build that home on a solid rock and not on the sand, as the Bible says. And I'm just, my life has changed, honestly, since you've come into my life, babe. I know we have good days in our marriage and we have bad days. We have funny, sweet days. And then we have days where it's like, hey, just don't talk to me today. I'm just having one of those rough days. I mean, but at the end of the night, at the end of the day, when I lay my head on my pillow, there's nobody else that I would rather be doing life with than you. And I'm just so grateful.
There's nobody else that I'd rather be doing than you.
I freaking hate you, Steve.
That's what we guys do. We bring it right back around and
he's being funny because, you know, all of you are listening, but he is the sappiest, cheesiest, most emotional, loving guy ever.
I'm not emotional, but yes, when you were out of town for like a week.
You cried for me.
I did not cry for you.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
On that note, we're going to turn her mic off and we're going to finish the show. We hope that you guys enjoyed the good life today. Relationship.
Where's my clapping?
Oh, it's right there. That's it. You're not doing it right. Oh, thank you so much.
I left you all through my... Okay.
Anyways, thank you guys so much for joining us on today. We love you guys so much, fam. We
More
hope that you guys are enjoying
coming.
The good life. More questions
on
coming.
YouTube.
Next week, we've got Lisa Turkhurst on the show. That's right. Make sure that you watch the YouTube video that
next
is going to be coming up next week. It's us in the kitchen answering more questions. Lisa Turkhurst is on talking about forgiveness next week. We hope that you guys love this show. Let us know in the comments. Rate, review this thing. What you're loving about the good life. What you want to hear next. We appreciate all of you who have been joining us on this journey. We'll be back next week, y'all. Have a great week.
Love y'all, fam.
TGLF.
Later. Woo!
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best Eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best Eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.